Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. Our guest today is Alan Tsang. Alan is a negotiations coach with over a decade of experience helping clients all over the world win in high-stakes negotiations. Alan's principles and methods have universal appeal and application. From working with an international team at a $4 billion company, to showing a nonprofit how to build stronger relationships with key donors, to teaching a married couple how to make their struggling relationship come to life again by learning the art and science of negotiations. Alan was born in Hong Kong, raised in Africa, and educated in the United States. Fluent in English and Cantonese, his global experience has shaped his perspective and enhanced his ability to build cultural gaps, facilitate better communication, and secure lasting agreements in the most diverse of all situations. Alan's early career took him to Boston, New York, and Atlanta before he finally settled in to Virginia with his wife and six children. Welcome my new friend and our guest today, Alan Tsang. Alan, it is so good to see you again. It's nice to meet you last week when we talked, and thanks for being on my podcast. I'm really excited about you being here.
Same here, Michael. It's nice meeting you.
Yeah, we met through a mutual friend, and I got a chance to meet Alan and learn a lot about his life. He lives in Virginia and lived all over the world, and he's going to be with us today and tell us about some special people in his life. But before we start, I always ask for a little thankfulness and gratitude. What's you're grateful for today?
Well, I'm always grateful for two things: my family, and that includes my siblings as well. Surprisingly, what's going on right now in the world? I know a lot of people feel like things are horrible, and it is. People are getting sick, they are dying, and we can look at the negative things. But what has happened is allow me to kind of focus more of my time with my family, spending more time with my kids. And I have six kids, three have graduated from college and moved out. The other three are with me at home with my wife. And I got to do a little bit of gardening. So I'm seeing my chives grow, my scallions, my melons, oregano, all that good stuff, like cilantro. I like gardening, so.
My wife has a greenhouse. She does all that kind of gardening, too.
Excellent.
She keeps me out of it, by the way. So my big question is, do your other three kids that are out of the house, do they have jobs?
Well, I'm thankful for that. They're all gainfully employed. They're all very stable. They have a good job, and they seem to be appreciated at work, so.
Yeah. Great. Boy, that's a plus for sure.
It is.
Yeah. And tell us about a small-time leader in your life, someone who made a big difference in who you are.
Well, I have two that immediately comes to mind. One is Jim Camp. He was my mentor. I met him in 2007, and he was the author of a book called Start With No. And he's a negotiation coach, and I worked with him, and he coached me, and then later he mentored me, and then towards the end he became someone that I apprenticed with. So I worked with him, and so the relationship just deepened and expanded from there.
So he said coaching, mentoring, then apprentice. Tell me a little bit the difference, and maybe something he did. He was coaching you, and
well, when he was coaching me, I just came from a massive failure that I've never experienced in all my life. It was one of the biggest failures. And I met him, and I discovered that where I failed was my lacking in terms of negotiation skills.
So was this a business failure?
It was a business failure. And the business, it was in 2006, and it was not related to the downturn of the economy. It was, to be honest, it was just between me and my partner and our failure to come to agreement.
Yeah, I've been through that myself, and partnerships are tough. They are.
My accountant says partnership is like a marriage without the intimacy.
Hope so. Okay, everyone, before we continue today's episode, I just want to remind you of my new book, Roll Up Your Sleeves. The book is on how to lead and live in a world of constant change. Roll Up Your Sleeves has a biblically based storyline that shows you how to get through your transition wilderness to your promised land. Order the book today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. For more information, go to the book's website. The links are attached on the show notes. Okay, now back to the show. So when you met Jim, what's something that he said or did that you still hang on to that's meant a lot to you and helped you?
The most important thing that he taught me and drilled into me and coached me and then later continually mentored me was to have and to develop a valid mission and purpose in everything that I do. For every single client, for every single negotiation. And this mission and purpose has to be grounded in the world of our adversary. So we have to think of delivering benefits when we're crafting this mission and purpose. And we have to suspend our own selfish need. No matter how contentious that may be, our mind and our focus and our energy, everything is to be focused on how we're going to deliver benefit to our adversary. So that was life-changing for me because a lot of times when you're in a negotiation and you feel like someone is taking advantage of you or abusing you or bullying you or using leverage or coercing you or using deception, our natural response is to fight back.
Right.
Or to avoid it. Avoid it, run away, ignore it, or fight back or lash back or retaliate. So when I was taught how it was a change in mindset, it was a complete change in mindset to think of how to negotiate with your counterpart and how you can benefit them in that circumstance.
Wow, that is counter to anything I've ever heard of or thought of. It sounds like it was to you as well.
It was.
Yeah. I know you use that in your coaching now. How does that apply to what you're doing with your work?
So in negotiation, and a subset of negotiation is sales.
Yeah.
And a lot of times salespeople develop a desperation mindset or neediness. And what a valid mission and purpose does is it would insulate you from that neediness. It focuses you in the world of your adversary, what they care about, what's their pain, what is the problem they need to resolve, what is standing in the way of their efforts, what's preventing them from getting what it is that they hope to get, and why are they suffering. And so you get to come in and create discovery and perform discovery to work with them and collaborate in such a way that you can create a solution that may not be initially seen by you or your counterpart and to help them get what it is that they want.
Could you have a brief example you could share without using names?
Absolutely. So one of my clients had a customer, and this customer was very unhappy because my client was not able to deliver the products on time. And so the relationship became very contentious to the point where they said, we are going to fire you and we're going to find other suppliers. So when we went to meet with them, it took us some time to kind of be willing to listen and find out what it is that they're really looking for. Initially, we just thought they needed their product on time. But the reason they needed it on time was because their salespeople have already made promises to their customers and they need to make projections. They have forecasts. They don't want to hold up their customers' projects. The problem was my client needed a longer time to make those products. And my client's customer was not willing to place a blanket order. So after we saw what their challenges were, we were able to help them see that without a blanket order, there was no way we could help them. But it was not about us getting a blanket order. It was without a blanket order, there was just no way we could deliver what it is that they wanted. So it's a very nuanced way of seeing the world. This account manager that I went in with for months was trying to get this client to go with a blanket order because it would solve the problem. But to my client's customer, what it seemed like was just this account manager always asking for more work. He said, you can't even deliver what I want on time. Why are you asking me for more work?
Yeah, he was thinking he was trying to get another transaction, and he was really just trying to build a relationship, it sounds like.
Correct. He was just, yeah. He's all about building relationship. But then the other side sensed that the other side smelled the commission.
Right.
But when we went in and we basically allowed the other person, look, if this doesn't work, it's okay, and you can break the relationship. But let me see what it is that you need. But once we discover what they need, we also have to help them that we want to deliver that, but without a blanket order, we're not able to make the product and put it on the shelf and deliver it quicker, like lead time, shorter lead time. So once they saw that, there was no problem in making that decision. Even though what I was asking, logistically, mechanically, it's the same that the account manager has been trying to make.
Well, man, what a wonderful story and what a wonderful principle to leave us with about grounding your negotiation in the adversary's needs in mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks for sharing that story. And anything you'd leave the listeners with from that story in particular, they would need to recall, help them in their day-to-day lives?
Well, absolutely. So the first thing is when it got contentious, there is no way you can create discovery or to perform discovery for yourself. So we have to, at that point, de-escalate the emotions. We have to give the other side the opportunity to calm down, get to an emotionally calm state so that we can actually work together.
Well, Alan, thanks so much for this story. I hate we're having to cut it short. We will see you on Thursday with another story about another small-time leader in your life. Thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control. But I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.